Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of The Journey of Hope. Glad you could be with us today. The Journey of Hope is a podcast that's especially designed to address the issues that men and women face after incarceration. My special guest today is Richard Waldman. Richard has written a book called Your Guide to a Better Way of Thinking. He also runs a 10-week transitional program for ex-offenders out in California. Richard has got some great things to say. I really enjoyed my interview with him, and I think you'll find some things in there that are useful as well as we transition home. Richard Waldman, right after this on The Journey of Hope. Send me some mail, mathersrodney@yahoo.com. It's mathersrodney@yahoo.com. Everybody, welcome back. My guest today is Richard Waldman. He's a life coach and the author of the ebook Your Guide to a Better Way of Thinking. He also works a 10-week program. It's a transitional program for ex-offenders. Welcome, Richard. How are you?
Well, thank you, Rodney. I'm doing excellent. How are you this fine day?
I'm doing great. It's beautiful weather here in Houston, Texas this morning. Nice and cool. How about you?
Well, it's kind of oak dark 30 here in California. I'm in the Bay Area. It's just starting to get a little light here.
Oh, that's right. It's quite a bit of time difference. I never can get these time differences down for these interviews. The worst is people that live in Arizona because they don't have daylight savings time, and plus it's mountain time. I never can figure that out. But anyway, Richard, give us a little bit of your background. Let us know where you're coming from, and tell us a little bit about how you came to write this ebook.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. I've been in education for a while. I started out as a technical trainer, and I was doing programs in companies and to various groups. And anyway, I was in a company one day, and I was doing my program afterwards. A couple of individuals approached me who happened to be counselors that worked for the company, and they said, Rich, you know, we really enjoyed your presentation and what you do, and have you ever thought about coaching counseling? And, you know, I hadn't really thought about it, but bottom line was I checked into it when I got involved, took the training and, whole nine yards. And over time, I started to develop a clientele, and one of my clients, we were going over, some goals and things he needed to do, and it was things that we had gone over before. And he turned to me, he says, Richard, he says, you know what I need to be doing, he says, but I'm not doing it. And I says, why? And I says, I know you know. He says, well, how come I'm not doing what I know to do? And I said, gee, I don't know. And I started looking at my own stuff, and so that question morphed into a larger question, and the question was, what enables us to be so extraordinary on one hand, and we as humanity, we do these phenomenal things. We're so extraordinary on one hand, but on the other, we can be confused, self-serving, and at times destructive. Mm-hmm. So I started checking, looking on the internet, theology, philosophy, psychology, trying to find the answer to that question, and I couldn't. So I thought, well, wait a minute here. Maybe I can set up my own little mental workshop, and because I would hear things like that we live in a duality, or we have a duality going on in our head. I mean, terms like we've heard for thousands of years: the tree of life, the tree of good and evil. Jesus said, in order to find yourself, you have to lose yourself. So you hear about these opposites. So that was kind of driving me. So I decided to set up this little workshop in my own mind, trying to detect what's going on. And I was buoyed by a quote from the famous storybook detective Sherlock Holmes, who said, "There is nothing so elusive as an obvious clue." Hmm. So with that in mind, I kept looking, and then it hit me, Rodney. It appeared in as far as our nighttime dreams. And you know, for example, when you dream, that how people, places, and things are distorted, they're nonsensical, you know, they don't appear as they really are. Mm-hmm. This happens because our brain is able to take what is true and twist it into something of its own making, meaning our minds, our brains, will miscreate.
Hmm.
Now, people, you may think, well, you know, so what? Who cares? I'm awake, you know, I'm in control. But there's more to the story in that much of what our brain does, it does in our subconscious. For example, right now, your brain, my brain, our brains are controlling every aspect of our bodies without us even knowing about it. Well, I started kind of connect the dots here. Wait a minute, here you got a brain that will miscreate and is able and also controls our subconscious. We, you know, it's a space we cannot enter. Could it be that our brain has created an image of who our brain thinks we are? Meaning that, you know, I didn't create myself, in my own head, nor have I met anybody else who said they did. So this is where the other side comes from. And Sigmund Freud, you know, the father of modern-day psychology, called this image the ego, which is Latin for I, meaning the self. So I'm going, oh, wait a minute here. Maybe this is that the door that takes us into the dark side. So then I start getting into, wait a minute, okay, now we've kind of identified that there are two parts. Now the question arose, what makes up each side and how do they work? And so that's what started the evolution of the book, in which I detail in my book, Your Guide to a Better Way of Thinking, that anybody can download free from my website at www.abwot.org.
Okay, we'll talk about that again a little bit later. But the thing that really jumped out at me when you contacted me about being on the show is you talked about where negative thinking comes from. And we, you know, we kind of drift towards doing that, don't we? And
mm-hmm.
In your research, in your opinion, where is it, do you think, that the glass is half empty? Why do we think that way?
Well, there again, it's the ego. See, it's the self, this thing that the brain created. It sounds like something out of science fiction. But how it works is, you know, you hear, for example, the psychologists and psychiatrists say, hey, if you hear, for example, voices in your head, you know, there might be something wrong with you. Well, that's not true. Our brain speaks to us. It talks to us in a language we can understand. It doesn't talk in dots and dashes and endorphins. And so consequently, I started focusing on this alter self, this ego I have. And what I deduce, Rodney, this is a snapshot, you know, this is, but fast forward this, is there's four qualities that the ego displays. The ego is concerned about its image, being right, having control, but it's not accountable. And so consequently, when we're out there, you know, we have the need to be right, whatever it is, this is what the ego is all about. For example, when I'm in the prison there talking to the individuals, these guys will, you know, they'll say, yeah, Rich, you know, my chatter, you're right. It did come up. It did tell me basically to do what I should have been doing. I mean, because, you know, when I asked the question on my training to these guys, who here knew not to do what you did that got you here? They go, oh, yeah, we knew not to do it, but we did it anyway. Because, and once again, this chatter, you know, it's there to protect our values, whatever our values are. One of the inmates was telling me that, how things morphed, how it started out very slowly. But then he had to up the ante as it go, because he says, I needed to protect myself. No one was going to tell me what to do, and so he said, I ended up killing this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this ego thing driving me to do, you know, to do this crime. So, and there's four things that cause it to happen, Rodney. There's four elements to it. It starts with judgment. In other words, it's impossible to have a negative state of mind until we judge something. Works with a chatter in our head that collects the evidence. See, this chatter in our head knows what we believe. and will point out, for example, hey, look what they did, look what they said, look what happened. Aren't you going to do something about it? See, and those will be believed, and then we'll offer the evidence, you know, what are you going to do? And then many times, or at times, we react. We follow it. It's like, here's another way. Here's a good example, Rodney. This is something we all go through. You ever thought of, I say you, meaning all of us, thought of doing something dumb, knew it was dumb, knew if you did it, you'd get a dumb result, and then you went ahead and did it anyway, got the dumb result, and then the chatter in your head came back and told you how dumb you were for doing it. That's kind of an example how this thing works.
Yeah, but you know, and you know, one of the many criticisms I have of the way that the prisons are run is that mentality where, you know, this ego, overblown kind of ego, it's just so conducive to perpetuate that in the prison environment. And I don't think it has to be that way. You know, it's like big man on the corner. Everybody's got to be the big man on the corner. And, you know, instead of that, you know, why don't prisons tone it down instead of allowing it to be that way? You understand what I'm saying?
I do. Think, no, and it's all about education, what you're suggesting.
Well, I think that you have probably found that, and correct me if I'm wrong, that people that have been incarcerated for a long time, me included, had some issues with the ego as we began to think about being released and coming out into society. Do you find that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we break out. What we do is we break out in groups, and we have very deep discussions about this, and it really hits home. And we're the, I'll hear, Rich, yeah, here's what I heard in my head when, what I did, or whatever is what's going on with them. So you're spot on about that.
You know, when you when you're in prison, if somebody flips you off, those are fighting words, you know.
Sure.
If somebody does it when you come home and you're driving down the road, the rules have changed, and I think guys get caught up in that prison mentality and they're not able to let go of it. And and I think it causes some problems. Let's move on here. You talk about education and employment, education being extremely important, and you mention things like, what are your interests? Where are your talents? And the question I have for you is kind of a tough one.
Sure.
Where do we put, the difference between what's reasonable, you know, having a reasonable expectation level when it comes to things like employment, careers, that sort of thing. You know, we can all get the education, but actually nailing down a job. Do you talk about the reasonableness of, someone's expectations, setting a proper expectation level? Do you discuss that with the inmates?
Absolutely. It's because, it's a shock. I've not been incarcerated, but, what I've seen on TV and whatever, I mean, it's a shock. As you mentioned, you've gone down that road, for someone to be inside, then all of a sudden you're on the outside. It's like I've got an indoor cat. Well, when it goes, it thinks it went outside, but it didn't know where to go. And so because it had no, route of escape, it didn't know where to go, so it was confused. And so that's where the preparation starts, talking about it. But if someone can find out, what is it you want to do? There's an old biblical saying that says, if you bring out what is within you, what you bring out will save you. And it's so important to find, what is it you want to do? What's in your heart? And then we start going from there and building upon on that, just taking it one step at a time. And, I'll share this with you, Rodney, but there's a fellow just got out a while ago. I'm in this group called Life Cycle, but we try to track, when they get out, what's going on. And several of the individuals, this is interesting, have been involved with, become window washers, and they're being very, they're very successful. And what it is, they're able to, one is going under the the radar because, you know, one of the things we go over, you know what your record, you know, says. You know, don't go to an employer and then they pull up your record and they ask you questions about it and you don't know what's in it. So, you know, then the question is, well, how do I overcome that? Then, you know, can I fly under the radar at all? And that seems to be a profession that it's very minimal investment to get started. You can fly under the radar, and window washers today, Rodney, are averaging $40 to $70 an hour.
Wow.
I think minimum wage is like 10.
Wow.
And so we help coach, yeah. So this is the way, and we say, well, how do you start? Well, you get a business card, you get, you know, $25, you get $250, and start going out washing windows. You tell me, hey, I've got two calling cards. Here's my actual card, and my other calling card is, I'm going to clean a couple windows for you. And the next thing you know, they're developing relationships, they're calling them back, and it sounds, and I'm hearing this more, that I suggested to another fellow who's getting out, you know, check it out. He said, Richard, I absolutely will. So we try to devise ways that they can fly under the radar. Because now they say, hey, wait a minute, I can do this. Now they belief in themselves and, you know, it starts the whole process because that's what it's all about.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break, Richard, and when we come back, I want to talk to you a little bit about some specific things, like you advocate the use of mock interviews and finding a mentor. I want to talk about those things. More with Richard Waldman. Right after this, I'm Rodney Manners, and you're on The Journey of Hope. Hey there, you want to be sure and tell people about the show and check it out yourself. In the next few weeks, we've got Lynn Sandberg, Marcia Marty Barth, and Chris Prague, all geared toward helping ex-offenders make the transition back into society. You want to be sure and check those shows out in the next coming weeks right here on The Journey of Hope. We're talking to Richard Waldman today. He's got an ebook called Your Guide to a Better Way of Thinking. He also works with ex-offenders, and he's got a lot of great ideas. And I told you before the break, I wanted to, you advocate the use of finding mentors. Let's talk about that for a second. How does someone go about finding a mentor?
Well, first of all, you might find one, for example, I would start with whatever it is you want to do. Let's say there's a particular business, you know, whatever that profession or wherever you want to go, and find others that are in that business you can possibly hang with. There's also, you know, the chamber mixers. I also would seek out, if you're going to a particular profession, are there organizations that support that profession? So I would gravitate that way. That's, you know, because you're going to have that connection. You're going to have that sharing. You've got something in common. You have a value you can share, which is almost like a calling card in itself. So that's what I advocate.
And so what is it that a mentor can do for you?
Well, provide encouragement. I know I was in sports. I competed in gymnastics for 6 years. And one of the things that I was in junior high, I used to hang out with the high school guys, the gymnasts, you know, as far as, because I learned from them. And then when I was in high school, I lived near a state college, I hung out with those guys. because those individuals out there, they'll pull you up. I mean, if they're more experienced, more talented, and many times there's individuals that help them. And so, you want to seek out those people that are willing to give back, have that positive energy, and they're out there. It's just a matter of the one out there impressing the flesh.
Okay. And you also talk about using mock interviews when you're getting ready to go out on your job search. I wanted to touch on that as well, because I wanted to ask you just, how to do that. What kinds of questions are asked? Who do you get to ask the questions? And because I really like this idea. Tell us about that.
Rod, it's powerful. Years ago, I worked for a company. I was in sales. And every month at the end of the sales meeting, we would do, we would role play. And my manager, okay, Richard, you get up, you're the customer, and so-and-so, you're, represent our company, here's the situation, go. And then we watch. Because what it is, as we hear and develop these skills, the goal was to bring them out into the field. So for example, when I'm doing the training, at the prison, for example, we had a mock interview about a month ago where the inmates had to develop a resume based upon what they felt they wanted to do. And then I was one of the interviewers, and then we had staff came in. The staff came in, there were several captains, anyway, from the clergy. And so then we did the mock interviews. And then we went over as far as, what we did, how we did, and then we voted, who did the best interview. So it's that having that practice, because you don't want to be sitting in front of an employer and all of a sudden they ask you a question that disarms you. So what we want to do is that anticipate what the question is. For example, something's in your record. Well, you've read your record. You know what's in your record. Now you can explain it, and then, or you practice a response to it. So it's all about knowing what to say, because we go in situations where we don't know what to say, then fear pops up, the chatter in your head pops up. Oh my God, what if they ask you something, you can't answer, and you look stupid, and now what are you going to do, So it starts that whole process of, that going downhill. So what we try to do is arm them, make them aware of what's going on, how that chatter in their head's working, so they can prepare themselves as they go in and know that no matter what kind of job they did or whatever happened, it's something to learn from, not to beat yourself up about. Okay. It's, life is a process, and, we're going to have adversity. And the key is to learn from it and move on.
Okay. Now, do you talk about all the things we've been talking about in this ebook that you have?
No, that's a little bit different. That's a little bit different animal. What I did was that the book is, it's a conversation of two individuals, and it touches upon, theology, philosophy. I explain where these two individuals get into. One's having an issue, and the other one obviously is, enlightened and helps educate the other. But it gets into a lot of different principles, and it explains about, the alter self and the positive side, and what, makes that side work and the negative side. So it's all about, being able to kind of be more aware of what's going on inside of our head.
Okay. How do we get that ebook? It's free, by the way, right?
It's free. Just put your email address in and you got it.
Hey, man, we like free stuff around here.
That's right. It's just a matter of just getting the word out.
Tell us again how to get the book. Where do we go?
Well, my website is www, and the letters A is an apple, B is in boy, W as in Waldman, ABWOT.org, A Better Way of Thinking.org.
Good job, Richard. I want to thank you, first of all, for the volunteering that you do in the jail and the prison system there. I appreciate that, and I know a lot of people appreciate your help. And I want to thank you for being on the show today. My guest has been Richard Waldman, and he's got that free ebook out there, Your Guide to a Better Way of Thinking. Richard, thank you for being on the Journey of Hope today.
Rodney, thank you for having me.
We're going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back after this. My name's Rodney Mathers, and you're on the Journey of Hope. you can always catch me at MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Love to get your mail. I promise you I'll read it, and I will most likely respond. It's MathersRodney at yahoo.com. Drop me a line. OMG.org. I guess we've reached the end. We've reached the end of another show. I want to thank my special guest. His name was Richard Waldman. And I want to remind you that if God is for you, who can be against you? We'll see you next time right here on The Journey.